Om Shanti. Welcome to another beautiful session, and this time we're going to be going into deeper experiences in meditation. And I'm sure this atmosphere is helping you to get to that higher plane of consciousness to help you deepen your experiences in yoga. We've got senior brother Vijay. He's from Trinidad, and he came into Gyan in 1978 at the age of 20, just after he finished high school. And so obviously been to Madhavan many times and many wonderful experiences with Bap Dada as well. And he's been retired now from his family business since 2020. So dedicating his continued service to Baba and the Agya. And the virtues and specialities I pick up from Vijay are wisdom. He has a great depth of experience through experimenting and the different tests that come to yogis over time. He has a lightness. He's always ready to have a bit of a laugh, and is deeply concerned about helping other people. So there will be the opportunity for some interaction, and we'll have a microphone for you here as well. And if you do need translation, you can bring up a translator with you. Thanks, Brother Vijay.
Om Shanti, for your generous introduction. So can I ask those at the back to come to the front? If it is possible, especially those who speak English, to come to the front. So, this topic is on meditation or yoga. It's called experiencing deepening your experiences in yoga. So this topic can be taken from many different points of view. Yoga is very wide. Yoga, we can say, is relationship, is connectedness, is relation with Baba. And many things, or we can even say everything, impacts our relationship with Baba. But I want to start by taking it from the point of view of ourselves. Our identity. How do we see ourselves and how do we identify ourselves? In other words, who do you think you are? Because that will affect your relationship with Baba. So let me ask this question. Is any one of you related to God? Do you feel that you are related to God? Can you raise your hands if you feel you are related to God? Okay, anybody feel that they are not related? Anybody feels that their relationship is distant? Anybody feels that their relationship is close? And those who feel it is close, you have a close relationship with God. Does he listen to you? You think he listens to you? Do you listen to him? You listen to him? Are you obedient to him? Sometimes is the correct answer for everything. Sometimes. So there's a lot to think about. But you have pen and paper? So let me ask you to do this. On the paper, put a circle in the middle. And in this circle, write your own name, or the name that you call yourself, your name. And then connected to this circle, write the things that you identify with. So, for example, you might consider yourself to be an American or a Malaysian. You might consider that you are a male or a female. You might consider that you belong to a certain culture or a musician. So what are the things you identify with? You might identify with your job. So can you write in this, what are the, some of the things you identify with? So how do you see yourself? And you can write it. Few things, how you see yourself. And so you would have written 5 or 6 or 7 things. And then at another level, a little further out from the circle, write the things that are important to you. Things that you feel is very important for you. And maybe how you dress might be very important to you, or what food you eat, or where in the world you like to live, or to whom you relate or who you are connected with, or things that you do. What do you feel that is important to you? So add some more things, the things that are important to you. And at the last level, the final one, write the things that you like. Things that you like. You like to drink milk in the mornings. You like coffee. The things that you like. You like to walk. You like sports. Things that you like. So, how many things have you got in the paper altogether? How many things you came up with? How many you have? How much? 14. 1, 4. How many sisters? How many you've got altogether? 24. Mm-hmm. So, in the topic of identity, if you see yourself as these things, and are all of these things related to the world? Are they related to the body? Any of the things you have written, are they related to the soul or to God? So in this group, count them. How many is related to the world, to the body and the world, and how many is related to the soul or to God? Anyone can give a number? How many related to the world? Things of the body, things of the world, how many? You can say? Only that. Okay. Brother, how many related to the world and how many related to God? One related to? And all the others related to God? Okay. Who else? And these sisters? Five to soul and 5 to the world. So, this sense of identity is, it defines our relationship with God. It defines the type of relation we have, or the type of yoga we would have. So yoga is natural. Meeting God is natural. Meeting other souls is natural. If we meet someone, especially if we have known that person before, then there's no effort to meet. We meet, we greet, we talk, we discuss, we chat. It doesn't take effort. We just naturally communicate with each other. Now, this should be our connection with God. But it is not, because a lot of our identity is connected to the world. Things connected to the body, things connected to our job, things connected to the culture of the world. It is not connected to the culture of God. So the culture of God is silence, it is peace, it is quietness, it is humility, it is all the virtues. That is the culture of God. The culture of the world could be in sports, it could be working, it could be becoming rich, it could be having a high position, it could be getting name and fame. So these things are the culture of the world. And if we want to have yoga or meditation, experiences in yoga or meditation, then all of the external identity has to be removed. All of them. Because those are the things that interfere in our relationship with God. And how do we remove them? One at a time. So each one, we take it, we think about it, we ask ourselves, why do I think I am a, you know, Malaysian? What is Malaysian? But in fact, I am not a Malaysian. I am a soul who was born in that country. Or you might say you think of yourself as a male or a female. If we are a male or a female, we stand in a certain way, or we walk in a certain way, or we sit in a certain way, or we dress in a certain way. But in fact, we are not male or female. We are souls. And so when we meditate, these things interfere. They come in, you know, we sit for meditation, we think about Baba, we start to see Baba's light, and then we remember something about the dress or something that you had to do because of, you know, our identity with the world, and they interfere. So relationship with God or experiences in yoga is normal and natural. The problem is the interference. And that interference comes based on our identity, how we identify ourselves. Okay, so anybody have any comments or questions at this point? You can raise your hand if you want to say anything. So then the question is, how do we remove this identity? How do we remove them? So this requires talking to yourself. Don't talk loud, talk quietly, but it means talking to yourself. Now, do you feel you have time to talk to yourself? You have a lot of time? You have enough time to talk to yourself? So, this effort of talking to the self should be happening all the time. All the time. That is, I would say, about 90% of our waking day. When we are awake, about 90% of the time, we should be internal. Conscious of ourselves, conscious of what we're thinking, making choices, making decisions, we should be conscious. And the other 10%, it has to do with our work and our responsibility and things we have to do. So, do you talk to yourself? You talk to yourself? Okay, do you talk negatively or positively to yourself? Do you have a good relationship with yourself or a bad relationship with yourself? So, this also has to be worked on. So, it sounds like a lot of work, but in fact, it is normally what we do. The soul is energy. I am a soul, I am a point of light, and this light is in fact energy. We could say that the world is composed of energy. And this energy is matter, physical energy. It is not conscious. And the soul, which is conscious. So conscious energy and not conscious energy, matter. Conscious energy is called the soul. And energy means the soul, there's movement. And that movement is called thoughts. So our mind has thoughts. It is the flow of energy. It is what I am. I am a soul. I am a flow of energy. And so during the day, my job is to manage this energy. To manage it. So that it flows in the direction that you want it to flow. Currently, generally, before we become BKs, that energy flows in the direction of the society. Based on our culture, based on the country, based on advertisements, based on what we see on social media, based on the news, based on what our friends are saying, based on the way we are brought up at home in the family. Is it too fast for the translation? So, normally we are not managing the thoughts. It is flowing on its own. And so once we become BKs, then we become conscious of ourselves, and our job all the time is to manage our thoughts. Manage them. So we have a few guidelines on how to manage the thought. Baba has told us that the soul, by nature, naturally, it is peaceful, it is loving, it is pure, it is honest. So managing the thoughts means using these principles or these guidelines. So the thoughts should be peaceful, they should be truthful, they should be honest, they should be pure. That is managing the thoughts. They should be according to my nature. In other words, there should not be conflict between me, the soul, and the thoughts that I am having. If I have thoughts based on anger, or based on suspicion, or based on greed, or based on jealousy, then that creates conflict inside. Because I am peaceful and my thoughts are not peaceful. So it creates conflict. So my job all day, every day, is to manage our thoughts. What type of thoughts we have? Peaceful thoughts. Pure thoughts. I am a soul. I belong to God. He is the Father of us. We are spiritual beings. We are divine beings. So we will do a little experiment for 2 or 3 minutes. And in this, become soul conscious. In other words, you are thinking only of yourself. What type of soul I am? I am a peaceful soul. So the method is, let the body relax. Think of the self as a soul. Let the thoughts slow down as far as possible. Think slow. And let the feelings come up. So I am a peaceful soul, but the feeling of peace should come up. So the topic is I am a soul. The method is to think slow, to kind of hold the thoughts from running, to think slow. And the third is for the feelings to come up. And the last thing is to create a picture, to think in the form of a picture instead of words. To think in the form of a picture instead of words, as far as is possible. Okay, so we're going to start. So sit comfortably, get inside, become soul conscious. Om Shanti. Anyone can say how many minutes we sat for? Show me in your fingers how many minutes we sat for. How many minutes it felt like? 1, 5, 5. How many minutes you felt we sat for? 1. How many minutes you felt we sat for? 2. So, we actually sat for 5 minutes. And if there is concentration, then it feels like less. It will feel like 2 minutes or 1 minute, if there is concentration. If there is concentration and your eyes are closed, or let me say, if your eyes are closed, and you felt that we only sat for 1 minute, it could be that you fell asleep. So it is important to meditate with the eyes open, especially when you are making more serious effort for concentration and focus and slowing down the thinking. In this area, it's important to sit with the eyes open. Because when you are slowing down the thinking, if your eyes are closed, you can fall asleep and you will not be aware that you have fallen asleep. But you will feel the time was short and you will also feel relaxed and rested. And therefore you may think you had good yoga, but in fact you slept. Now sleeping is not bad. It is a good thing. But we should not sleep during the time of yoga. No marks were gained for sleeping during yoga. Now, so while we are meditating, can you remember what were the thoughts preventing you from meditating? So first you became soul conscious, and then your thoughts moved to something else, or it shifted somewhere and came back. Now, that place that your thoughts went is the things that are on your mind, and it is what is interfering with your yoga. So from that you can know what is interfering with your yoga, and these have to be dealt with, they have to be organized, they have to be dismissed, they have to be managed so they stop coming to you. It is things that are left, it is things from your memory, it could be desires you have, it could be wishes you have, it could be a job that you should do that you haven't done yet, it could be something that you are planning about, but whatever it is interfering. So picture or imagine that you are talking with someone and while talking a third person comes and says something else. So now your attention is drawn somewhere else. So this interference is what creates the problems for us. And we just have to note what is interfering and deal with them. They must be dismissed. They must be closed. Those files have to be closed. And you have to do whatever it takes for you to do to close them. Now, who those files belong to? Do they belong to you or they belong to someone else? You know, if you start to think about someone said this or someone said that, who will close that file? So we have to close it ourselves, no matter where it comes from, but it is interfering with my mind. So I must close it from my side. It doesn't matter what the other person does, but from my side I have to close it. And if it's many different issues, then we close them one at a time. Okay, so any questions at this point or comments? A mic? Brother Damien, you have a mic? Take it to her. Take it to her. So the purpose of this workshop is to answer your questions. So whatever concerns you have, you can raise them so we can see what ideas we can give to support you. Yes?
Om Shanti, brother. I want to ask, when we sit in yoga with Baba, in order to receive any power of Baba, do we have to do anything in our mind or imagine anything? Or we just need to sit in remembrance and the powers of Baba automatically flow into us? Thank you, Pachi.
Yes, so the answer is the powers automatically load. We don't have to do anything. I think each of us can remember our childhood days, or we should remember. Or if you are a parent now and you think of your child, then it is quite common to see that the child is sleeping on the mother's shoulder, or the child is resting on the mother's lap. Or the child, the younger ones especially, if they're in the company of their parents, they like to lean on their parents, or to put their hand around their leg, or some connectedness. So in this stage, that child is experiencing the protection and the company of the parent. And in that stage, the child doesn't need to speak, nor does the parent need to speak. In fact, if the child speaks, or the parent and child is having a conversation, then the amount of protection the child experiences becomes less, because the relationship moves towards a conversation instead of the connectedness, the company of the child and the parent. So in meditation with Baba, the aim is for the soul to be silent in the company of God, for the soul not to be having any thoughts of the world. There's nothing really to think about. I am a soul in the company of God. There's nothing to think about. Baba says to be in yoga, to remember God. We don't have to remember that I am a soul. We don't have to remember that we need power. We don't have to remember that we have to take anything. We just have to remember God. So this pretty much requires silence. And that it means holding in the mind the image of God, holding the image of being in the soul's world in the presence of God, holding the image that I am light in the presence of the light. This is the effort. The effort is in holding. You get there and to hold, to stay. And holding the image, then we try to recognize the feeling that comes in order for us to hold. So when we hold the image of Baba, there should be a feeling of lightness, or there should be a feeling of love. So sometimes Baba would say, remember me with love. So sometimes there's feeling of love, or sometimes there's a feeling of friendship. So holding through an image and a feeling, and these two things are enough. So the soul, there should not be too much movement of the soul. In other words, the feeling or the image should not be changing too often. However, in the beginning, we do have to change the image, because the soul gets bored. The mind is used to moving. And therefore, if we try to hold the image too long, it slips. And the soul goes to something else. In other words, the mind goes somewhere else. So in that case, we have to change the image. Sometimes we are in the soul's world. Sometimes we are in the subtle region. Sometimes we are in the place in Baba's, you know, Baba is in the body of light. Sometimes I am a soul in the presence of God. So we have to change the image because it's our habit of moving and changing. But as time goes by, we should get more and more into a single image and a single feeling, being in the presence of God. Now, it is not difficult for us to become soul conscious, because just think that I am a soul and feel the light and become light. Similar to God, we could just think of God as light and see ourselves there and be there. The trouble is, the difficulty is keeping the mind there, keeping or holding the stage. Because when we get into a certain stage, and if we hold the stage, it becomes an experience. So if I think I am a soul, and then I think I am a body, and then I think of myself as a soul, and then I remember we have to make effort, we have to go and book the taxi for transport, and then I think of I'm a soul, and then we remember we have to organize something for someone else. So because we are not staying in the one experience of soul consciousness, we feel we do not have an experience. So I will say, I do not experience soul consciousness. Or I do not believe that I am a soul, because I cannot hold. But if it feels like an experience, because now the feeling of lightness or the feeling of being beyond the body stays long enough for me to recognize it. And it is in recognizing it that faith builds, that realization comes. And this is okay?
Om Shanti, I just translated for her. This is her question. Yeah, she said that when she meditates, so at the first time she feels very good, and then she feels struggle. Next, she meets Baba, but sometimes she feels Baba, but sometimes she doesn't feel Baba. So so Baba said that this is easy yoga. What should she do to have a better yoga, so application of yoga in her life? Thank you.
It is true, Baba said it is easy yoga. It is easy only from his side. From our side, it is not easy. From our side, we have lots of issues to deal with. And so from our side, it is not easy. It takes a long time. So we have to spend a lot of time dealing with our own issues. So sometimes it could be that you are in a good frame of mind, that you are well rested, that you are in a positive place, that things are going good, that your body is healthy, so that your energies are all focused positively, and then you have a good and easy relationship with Baba. And sometimes there is some other type of disturbance. It could be health, it could be something happening on the job, it could be any number of things. And this interferes in the relationship with Baba. And so it is normal that our relationship goes a little up and a little down, based on our mood, based on our rhythm of the body, based on health, based on consciousness, based on what is happening in the society. So if you have to travel and your flight got cancelled, and the day before you are having good yoga, the next day you hear the flight is cancelled, now how are you going to go home? So although you are not consciously thinking of the flight during yoga, but subconsciously it is having some impact and it is shifting. So your ability to concentrate is not good. It is not as good. So easy yoga is from God's side. From our side, we have lots of issues to deal with. And it is the normal effort that we make. It is what we do. We are yogis, but we are not perfect yet. And therefore, this is what we have to do. And this up and down is normal. It is normal. So we do that all the time, sometimes up, sometimes down. One thing to note is that every effort that you make to have meditation, it accumulates. So even if you felt you did not have meditation, or you felt that you sat for meditation but your mind was going everywhere else except to Baba, even then the effort accumulates. Something is happening. A habit is being formed. You are getting used to sitting still. You are creating a routine of sitting at a certain time every day. So that final goal doesn't always have to be met. Because in the process, we are creating many other support systems so that we can meditate for a long time as the time goes by. I don't know if you catch this point. I will repeat it a little bit. Just think of someone who exercises, physical exercise. So if that person never exercises, and they say, tomorrow morning I'm going to exercise, and they wake up in the morning, then they realize they don't have the correct shoes. Or they find out, well, where am I going to exercise? Or they might think, what is a good time of day to go to exercise? Because they thought they will go early in the morning, but then they discover they have to do something right after, and therefore they cannot go early. So it takes a while to get all the physical things in place to do what you want to do. And so in the meditation also, although meditation is an effort of the mind, there is a lot of physical things that also have to be in place, like your timing, your schedule, the place you meditate, the clothes you wear while you meditate, the place in the house where you meditate, or which center do you go, and if you go to a center, what time do you leave home, and how do you arrange for the dog or the cat or for other people in the house in order to go. So there are lots of stuff in order to create a routine that works so that when you sit to meditate, the mind is free. And therefore, in that way, every effort that you make accumulates, because something or the other is happening towards your final goal of yoga with Baba. So one should not get discouraged with this up and down. It is the normal meditative effort. The thing for meditation is to stay consistent. As much as possible, meditate around the same time every day. So we create a routine. So consistency and frequency. In other words, you don't meditate for 5 hours today and you know meditation for the next 5 days and then you meditate for another 2 hours. A little bit every day is more useful. It is better to meditate short but frequently than to meditate for one long block. So regular and consistent. So the mind starts getting used to, starts getting trained in the direction that you want it. Is it okay? So let me just say that this group here doesn't have the authority for questions. Other people can also ask questions.
There's a difference between meditate in the morning and in the evening. Yeah. So can you give us an example about the process of meditation in the morning and in the evening, from the beginning to the end? So do you get the point?
So one point I got is difference between morning and evening.
Yes, so now the process of meditation in the morning and the process of meditation in the evening.
Yeah, okay. I think it is the same. The process of meditation in morning and evening, it is the same. So you can think of meditation as relationship. You know, you are talking to Baba, you are having a conversation, you are meeting him. Those who said you are related to God, who said they are related to God? Can you show your hands who are related to God? Now, how long have you been related? How long? Forever? So you are related to God and you are related for a long time. And therefore, meditation is relationship. It is talking to Him. It is being in His company. It is sitting with Him. Just think of your own parents, your own mom or your own dad. You don't have to plan for that relationship, for meeting. If you are in the company of your parents and there's nothing to say, then you say nothing. You just sit together, and if there's something to say, then you say something. And if something you want to ask, then you ask. So you don't really have to plan deeply for the relationship. So that the meditation in the morning and the evening, it's just relationship with God. Baba has chosen the morning, and he says, because the atmosphere is quiet, because the majority of people are asleep, and therefore their thinking and vibration is not spoiling the atmosphere, and so we are able to go up to focus. Now the atmosphere does not disturb God, it disturbs us. If the atmosphere is very active, our minds also become influenced. So an example of this is that if there is a holiday in your country, so in our country we have two big holidays, which is Christmas and Diwali. Christmas and Diwali. And during Christmas time, it is quite common for people to wait until the last minute, is what is called, the last minute, before they do their shopping or before they go to the grocery to buy all things for their Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner. So although Christmas happens every year, still, every year, people talk about last-minute shopping. Can you relate to this? That if you have a holiday in your country, people get all excited as you get closer to the holiday. Does this happen in your country? Yes, it happens. In Argentina, this happens? It happens. So, this is the effect of atmosphere. So if everybody starts to think it's a holiday, then you also start to think it's a holiday. If everybody thinks it's going to be an exciting holiday, then you also start to think it's an exciting holiday. So this is the effect of atmosphere. And even if you don't want to do it, but as it gets more exciting and it approaches the final day, you still get caught up in it. And therefore, last-minute shopping. The last-minute shopping is people who don't really want to do it, but you know, still, at the end they get caught up. So Baba is saying that in the early morning hours, the thinking is much less. as the majority of people are asleep. And therefore, it is easier for our minds to concentrate, to go to Baba, and not be distracted by the atmosphere of the world. So that is why he recommended the morning. But in addition to that, I think from my experience that when we sleep, and especially if we sleep well, and we wake up fully rested, then the mind has more strength to meditate. In other words, it has more strength to stay focused. Or you can say, you have more strength to control the mind. So it is important to sleep well, to sleep enough, so that the mind feels rested. And how much is enough sleep? For a normal person, when we are sort of involved with the world, while we are working, looking after our families, you know, in a normal run, I would say about 8 to 9 hours of sleep per night. 8 to 9 hours. After you become experienced in yoga and meditation, I think up to 6 hours. You will feel okay, 6 hours. And of course, it is easy to know that you should be able to create a routine where you wake up without an alarm clock. In other words, you plan your day or you plan your night so that you get enough sleep. And so by the time it's 4 in the morning, you wake up naturally because you are rested and you feel completely okay, and you don't need the clock. So in that way, the morning meditation is better, more focus, more silence, more connectedness with Baba, more being in the company of. The evening meditations, we tend to use that to close the day, to talk to the Baba about the things you want to do, about the things we should have done. Today's Murali Baba talk about mistakes, big mistakes and small mistakes, to talk to him about the mistakes we did, to talk to him about what we plan to do to correct those mistakes. So that tends to be the evening meditation, where we talk to him about the day, I'll talk to him about our day in order to close the day so that stuff is not left hanging in the mind. We should not be anxious about things that happen. We should not be afraid. We should not be scared. There should not be things left to be done that is not done. If it is possible, you should write it so that the day feels completed, feels closed. And from what is left today, you make a plan tomorrow, you will follow up 2 or 3 things, so that after that meditation, you should be ready to sleep. Not sleep during the meditation, but after the meditation. So the evening meditation tends to be for that type of purpose, for closing the day and winding down. Winding down means preparing to sleep.
Okay, her question is, when she meditates, she needs to make a commentary.
Say again.
The mind, yeah. When she meditates, she needs to create a commentary in her mind.
The question is, do we need to create a commentary? You know, meditation is relationship. It is talking to Baba. We could talk about whatever we want. Anything you want to talk to God about, you can. Because, as you said, you are related to Him. You have been related for a long time. So you can talk to him anything you want, whatever is on your mind. So you don't need a specific commentary. If your mind is tired, you might feel it is beneficial to play a background commentary, a background music, so the mind is kind of guided to stay in that relationship and not go far away. So the commentary should more be background. It more be a support that in case the mind starts to slip and you hear the commentary, you can come back. But eventually, you should learn to meditate without commentaries. So the commentaries are good as a support in the beginning or when you feel tired. But beyond that, we should have a natural, normal relationship with God. There is a caution that I would like to share with you, that when we are disturbed, one method is that we should talk to God. You know, if you have something, so Baba will say that if you have any burden or we have any trouble or any issues, we should give it to Baba. But this is a little tricky. So if your mind is disturbed and you are talking to Baba, there is no significant connectedness between Baba and I. If you think about Baba, God's quality, He is virtuous, He is loving, He is peaceful, He is pure. If you look at Baba's face, you know, Avyak Baba, in Dari Gulzar's body, Baba is speaking, very divine, very detached, very relaxed, very easy. So imagine that Baba is sitting there and somebody very agitated comes in front of Baba. What will Baba respond? How will Baba relate to that person? So Baba usually does not connect when our mind is agitated. It is not, I would say it is not possible. I am not sure that is 100% true, because sometimes Baba has mercy on us, especially when we are new-ish in Gyan, or maybe for His own reason. Sometimes Baba has mercy on us and He supports us outside the normal structure. He still supports us. But generally speaking, when we are disturbed, it is difficult or almost impossible to connect to Baba. Therefore, we have to work on ourselves first. We have to settle down. We have to make our mind calm. We have to dismiss the issue. We have to reconcile in ourselves. We have to organize ourselves. We have to do enough so that we become calm. Only then we can give it to Baba. There is a Sakar Muli in which Baba says that when the children, we get into the vices, we become invisible to Baba. Yes, you might have heard it, or you can think about it and you might remember it, that when we, the children, get into the vices, we become invisible to Baba. And then you will also hear Baba say that children who do a lot of service, that Baba supports them or Baba sees them. So that the more we are virtuous, the more we can connect and will connect, and the more we will be able to absorb God's energy. But when we are disturbed or we are in a different stage, we have to personally solve that issue first before coming to Baba, in order to get His energy or get His support. Does this make sense? Any concern on this topic? I will take it from a different angle. When we listen to the mulis, when Baba speaks, especially in the Avyak mulis, Baba speaks very lightly. He will always say, sweet children, lovely children, Baba is very happy with the children are doing very well, all the children are very good, children have passed in the topic of love. Now he hardly tells us what we have failed in. He doesn't say you have failed in this or failed in that. He says you have passed. You have passed in the topic of love. Or 75% have passed. He doesn't go into details of our mistakes. He will just say, and Baba notices so and so, should Baba tell you? Baba, or he might say, Baba gives some homework that children should do this. And he speaks very gently. Very gently. So, from that, you can understand that in his personality, he stays far from the vices. He does not even describe the vices in depth. He doesn't even go into the description. So, he stays far from it. And therefore, if we are agitated, if we have, excuse me, if we have anger, or we have jealousy, or we are upset, or we have so many desires, then it distances us from Baba. And so the meditation is not successful. We are not able to absorb Baba's energy. In other words, he is not connecting to us. Or more accurately, we are not connecting to him. You can think that Baba is very pure and we are, you know, with the vices. So we are not equal. He is up and we are down. We are not able to lift ourselves to the pure level. So we are operating here and we're trying to connect, so there's no connectedness. So to connect to Baba, we need to be the most pure we are, the more soul conscious we are, the more spiritually we are, the more divine we are in the moment is what helps us connect. So even if we want to solve the situation of one or the other vice, let us say we get angry and we want to give this anger to Baba. In order to give it, I have to stop being angry. I cannot give it while I am angry. At least for some moments, I have to not be angry in order to hand it over to Baba. Is this clearer?
In Mali, Baba always said, when we remember Baba, so our sins will be absolved. Okay. What is the accurate yoga to observe our sins? And can you describe the feelings in that stage, the experience in that stage?
Mm. I think that in dealing with sins, if we feel that we have sins, and I am going to assume that by sin you mean that we are doing things, in other words, our action is not in keeping with what Baba is saying. So Baba say we should do something, but we are doing something else. So this is sin. In other words, we are doing wrong actions, you can say. So we have to separate this in two parts. One is burning the sin, and the other is managing the sin. So burning the sin is easy. We just have to be connected to Baba. We don't have to do anything. Burning the sin, just being in the presence of God. It is like if you are, you know, someone puts something to dry in the sun. You just have to put it there and the sun is there and it dries. You don't have to do anything. So burning the sin is like that. But before we can reach the stage where we can be in the sun, this is the problem. The problem is while the sin is continuing, we cannot get into the sun. We cannot get into the presence of Baba. Because Baba said that when we are involved in sin, then we become invisible to him. In other words, there is a barrier. There is no connection. So before even getting to Baba, we have to manage the sins. This means managing the behavior. This means dealing with what creates the sin. Sometimes it comes from habits. You know, you have the habits of people who smoke. They have certain, maybe just after eating they like to smoke, or at the end of the job they like to smoke, or something like that, or in the company of certain friends they like to smoke, or when they go to a certain place they like to smoke, or they associate smoking with drinking, so when they drink they like to smoke. So our sins are similarly connected. It's connected to our own behaviors, it's connected to our habits, it's connected to our emotions, it's connected to our feelings. So we have to unravel that before we even reach Baba. This has to be unraveled. It has to be broken down. We have to make changes in our thinking, changes in our behavior, changes in the way we respond. So we have to analyze what is happening within us and why, and start to work on it, change it. And when we are, the sin don't continue all the time. It's not that sins happen continuously. They don't continue all the time. So in the gaps where there is no sin and where the soul is in a calm state of mind is when we can come in the company of Baba, and just staying with Baba, that sanskara starts to weaken. It starts becoming less. And by weakening, it means that the compulsion to take that action becomes less. It doesn't have as much strength. And so the sin might move from action to half an action. In other words, we still commit the sin, but not as much. And then later on it will move more to thoughts, or maybe to feelings and to thoughts. And so slowly the sin moves from physical to mental, and then eventually it disappears. So for all the sins it is the same process. And sin means those actions that take us away from God. Or sin means actions connected to the body, body conscious actions. Or sin means actions that bring short-term pleasure but long-term distress, is what we call sins. Or sins mean things that make the soul weak, the thinking process weak, the mind weak, intellect weak. Those things are called sins. Now, you would have heard Baba say that it's a boxing match. This is a boxing match. And he said that when the boxer gets knocked down, first of all, they should expect to get knocked down because it's a boxing match. But once you get knocked down, what do? You just have to get up and start fighting again. So every time you get knocked down by this sin or this behavior or this addiction, you get up and you fight again. You know, what you try to do is spend little time on the ground. You get knocked down, you're on the ground. Get up quickly and just carry on. There's no other way. It's normal. All of us have sins. And therefore, we should not spend too much time feeling guilty, being worried, being concerned about the sin. We should spend time in trying to figure out how to conquer the sin, not in worrying about the sin. Our time should be spent in making some plans, new behaviors, new actions to control the sin, to conquer it. We should not be spending a lot of time feeling guilty, feeling bad, worrying, concerned, and all of that. This is wasting good energy. So, like that, you find some method or some technique or analyze it or work with it, and then this would manage the sin. And then in those good times when the sin is not conquering you and you are in a good positive state, then you connect with Baba, and in those times, Baba will help to support you, give some strength, you know, give some light, give might. But we cannot get it when we are in the sin, or when the mind is absorbed by that sin. It's also it takes a long time. You can say the sins are burnt in the same way that a plant grows. It grows slow. Even if you put extra water or extra sunlight or extra manure, the plant still only grows at a certain rate. It cannot really be sped up. So we just have to carry on with the process that Baba has given us, and it will work.
Brother Vijay, could you give an example of something that you corrected in your life and how you corrected it and maybe eliminated it?
So one of the things I think I did a lot of was complain. In my center, you know, I felt, you know, that things should be this way, things should be that way. You know, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? The programs are there, they do it this way. I thought they should do it that way. All of this. And after a long time, I felt, or let us say I understood, that this complaint was my own inner conflicts. It was my own conflict because I like to think of myself as being a BK, a Brahma Kumar, and Brahma Kumars are supposed to be virtuous, you know, doing all these good things. And within that, I also had the vices, I also had weaknesses. So there was an internal conflict. But I did not accept that it was my conflict. I thought, those people are not smart, those people are always doing this, those people are always doing that. And maybe it's a way in which we protect ourselves from blaming ourselves, or we always try to see ourselves in a good light, and therefore we assume everybody else is bad. And I think I did that naturally, like without even realizing it. But after many years of trying to correct people and nobody changed, I thought, you know, maybe I should try something different. And I think we all have that experience, like you have a program, then you analyze the program, and we say, next time we'll do it like this and do it like that and doing the other. And the next time the program comes and we do the same things, and we keep making plans every year, but every year it goes the same. So anyway, after a while, I thought, this is not working. And then I started to look to my own self and work on myself. But even then, I didn't think the fault was with me. I just thought it was a better method to change me instead of changing them. Anyway, they were not changing. I thought, let me try me, at least. And then slowly that began to shift. And after it had shifted about 50%, then I began to understand that the problem was with me in the first place. It was my own inner conflicts. And so as I began to manage them, I felt more capable, more confident in myself. It's really a big support that we don't have to worry about other people's opinion of me. That's really a big burden to carry, to always be trying to impress or to act according to what I feel other people want me to do, to please other people. That was a big issue. It creates a lot of weight on the soul, a lot of distraction. So once I was able to get rid of that, mostly, 90%, it really lightened things up. And so I was able to move a lot faster in my spiritual efforts.
Yeah, I like that. I might just share a little thing. At one stage I was living in a center and someone was being a bully, quite demanding and pushy. And I was just sort of debriefing with a BK friend about it. And then something changed in me and I thought, oh, the next time I'm going to say something because it's unacceptable behavior. And so I was prepared and I made that change within myself. But because I made that change, the situation never come up again. So it was about me. It wasn't about the bully. It was about me, using the power to face or to stand up for myself or be confident like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, change is amazing.
So we will try one more meditation. Do you want to try? So this time the topic will be about God. The topic is about God. It could be the light, or it could be the light in the body of Father Brahma. And so be with God, be in His presence, hold the thought, the feeling, and we want to think less and feel more. And so the topic is remember Baba with love. It is the Baba to whom you are related, right? You are related to this Baba. This is the Baba, the one to whom you are related. Remember Baba with love.